Somebody's going to go bridge here. It's matter time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Gombridge Podcast, episode 152. My name is Andrew Gardner, joined alongside by Alex Clausen. Clausen, how are we doing today?
Going to start episode 152 on a victory lap. Started saying about, three, four episodes ago, how poorly Blake Snell is on the mound. Blake Snell makes his first start of the season in San Francisco against one of the worst teams in the major leagues, the Washington Nationals. And the Giants won the game 8-1, and Blake Snell had a shutout performance.
I just want to let you know that I'm respectful and I didn't meet you right there, but the fact that you open up our second episode of in-season content with some Blake Snell talk, I think it's pretty disrespectful.
Well, I think it's pretty disrespectful that Blake Snell got paid this much money to go out against one of the worst teams in the major leagues. Can you name three hitters on the Washington Nationals?
No, I'm not even going to.
I can't either.
I don't even know if
I can. Either. But he went for 72 pitches, three innings, three earned runs, two walks, and five strikeouts, which is respectable. I will give him that. 45% of his pitches were balls.
All right.
Not a good pitcher.
No more Blake
Back to the business at hand. A lot of people probably expecting Gombridge to be jumping ship right now. Opening day, it went probably about as poorly as possible. Sox, I think the vibes are low. The vibes are low.
You
but you know
me?
What? You know what? We're not leaving.
All right. Well, first of all, jumping ship. Also, welcome to the show, everyone. 7-4, the Boston Red Sox. I don't even know how you can comprehend the mind of jumping ship on a 7-4 team after one bad game.
I mean, it's not even one bad game. It's the circumstances 2 hours before the game.
Since we last recorded.
It was just like, it was one of those things like you get kicked in the dick and then you get spit on.
Did you just hear what you just said?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think you need.
It was bad.
We're recording this late right now. I think you're. I don't know what's going on. We had to do the intro like four times. But yes, I mean, since we last recorded, which was last Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe last Wednesday, vibes definitely on the down low a little bit. Sox 7-4 record through 11 in games. Home opener was today at Fenway Park. We'll give you all the recap of the happenings of the last four games at that series out in LA, and then the home opener against Baltimore today at home. But more importantly, I think we would be remiss if we did not. I don't think I said that right. We would be missing out if we didn't start this episode talking about two massive injuries on the Boston Red Sox. Trevor Story is out for the season with a broken glenoid, commonly known shoulder bone. And Nick Pivetta is out with a right flexor strain, currently on the 15-day IL. And yeah, I mean, it took like 4 days to diagnose Story. And I mean, that Pivetta injury came out of absolutely nowhere. He pitched another gem against Oakland. We had already it was retroactive to 3 days ago. So, you know, that injury came out of nowhere. No one was expecting that. And I don't think anybody really knows how long he's going to be out for. You know, you hope it's a precautionary 15-day thing, but, you know, with the elbows, and we've already seen like 10 of those blow up on guys this year, whether it be the pitch clock or, you know, just an increase in velocity year after year. But the rotation's really damn thin, and losing Nick Pivetta, I mean, you don't want to lose anybody, but you can argue that he was honestly the most valuable guy in that rotation in terms of a guy who eats innings on a rotation and a pitching staff that's already really thin.
Yeah, MVP breakout, Nick Pivetta. This is probably not the last guy. I'd probably rather Pivetta than Bayo if you have to choose one. But in terms of, yeah, you just said it, in terms of a guy who goes out and throws a ton of innings, saves the bullpen, and provides juice. He was juiced up on his last start.
So juiced up. It was pretty sick. I don't know if we even talked about this last episode, but he was yelling at guys trying to turn a double play. Like, you know, I feel like if you look up Nick Pivetta online, like an image of him, I feel like every other picture is him in this exact pose with like one leg sort of up, two legs or both of his arms like pointing down, and a huge like mouth wide open. He's yelling. His face is all scrunched up. Like, he is very fiery. He's, you know, gets into the game, which is, you love to see it. And yeah, I mean, obviously without Giolito, and you don't have Sale anymore, who you couldn't really count on innings anyway, but you don't have Pivetta. And I think even in years past, most years past, when the Red Sox had good teams, there were guys at like the AAA level where, or even in the bullpen, who I feel like you could come in and start games and you would be reasonably, not confident, reasonably comfortable with them filling in for a little bit. This Red Sox team has no depth in that category. No. I mean, Cooper Criswell, I know he's pitched well early on. Like, I'm hopeful for him if he comes up. I don't know if Richard Fitz is ready for the big show yet, but I mean, in terms of guys who have thrown major league innings, you're essentially looking at either Cooper Criswell or Chase Anderson, who hasn't exactly been a great pitcher since before the pandemic. We're talking almost 5 years ago. So your options are thin, and now it leaves you into an even harder place because now you really can't afford to lose anybody else.
Yeah, it's kind of the unfortunate reality that the Red Sox have never been great at developing pitchers, and I'm looking at their prospect rankings right now. Yeah, in terms of, I mean, they have such a logjam in Double A. Your highest Triple A player is 16th, or sorry, 10, and that's Dick Fitz.
Yep.
So he's probably next. He might have to be ready. I don't really think that he has a choice. Worcester just started the other day. I bet he gets two starts and then comes right up.
I don't know.
Other than that, I mean, it's pretty shallow. Nathan Hickey got promoted to AAA, Gone Bridge alum.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And then other than that, we're not looking at another pitcher until Brandon Walter, who
we saw a little 29th. Bit of last year, I believe.
And Brian Mata is hurt, I believe.
Yeah, he's actually not even in the Red Sox top 30 rankings on Sox prospect anymore.
I don't think he's pitching this season either.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I was just looking back at the 2018 team, because when things go wrong, we like to talk about the 2018 team. But you want to talk about like a perfect example of two guys who could fill in at times that you needed them. You had Brian Johnson, who, again, most of the year was in the pen and had...
Complete game Brian Johnson?
Complete game Brian Johnson. BJ, actually. Brian Johnson...
CJ, BJ?
I don't remember that.
I just made it up.
Okay. Brian Johnson started 13 games in 2018 and pitched in 38 of them. Another guy who we saw... a couple spot starts. He actually started 8 games as Hector Velasquez. But like Velasquez had a 3.18 ERA in 85 innings. BJ had 4.17 ERA in 99 and a third innings. And then, you know, you had Steven Wright a little bit in there too. But I just mean that, you know, you have guys like that where they've been around for a little bit. You know, they're borderline starters. Like, you just don't really have that this year. You just really don't. And I guess, you know, if the Red Sox had gone out and signed, two or three arms to start for them, and we talked about bolstering the depth of the bullpen, which has not been a problem thus far, but we talked about, like, you know, if they did that, you could move Whitlock or Houck back and then pull them up in a situation like this. So again, it's not like the dire end, not like, you know, calling it quits on the season, but the margins are just like razor thin for this team to be really, like, not really good, to be good or really bad. And injury to your arguably like most durable starting pitcher, who's gone out and dealt for you since you got him in 2020. Just not what you need.
Yeah. Frankly, it's a matter of being unlucky, and it's a matter of poor roster construction.
It's not even unlucky. Like an injury is bound to happen. I mean, not even, it's just a starting pitching injury is bound to happen
this early.
I mean, maybe not this early. Maybe this early is unlucky. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can call it unlucky, but I mean, it's rare you see a guy even make 30, you know, over 30 starts anymore, 32, 33, going every fifth game.
It's poor roster construction. They should have opened the wallet for another $10 million.
I don't disagree with you. And
they could have had more.
It sucks with Giolito too. You're down in obviously Sale and Grissom's out too. It's like it's just been so hit with the injury bug. So hit with the injury bug.
I want to know. This might be my project for the week. Maybe it's because I pay attention to the Red Sox more than any other Major League Baseball team. I swear the Red Sox have more injuries than anyone else.
That I can't give you a good take on. Like I don't know. I don't know when the Cubs backup shortstop goes down. I don't
but
hear
like
about
it's
that.
It's not even backup shortstop. Like, look at who's injured for the Sox. What would have been their ace of their number two, Lucas Giolito.
Mm-hmm.
Their number two starter, Nick Pivetta.
Yep.
Their starting second baseman, Vaughn Grissom. Their starting shortstop,
yep,
Trevor Story.
Yep. And your
Am
fourth
I missing
outfielder.
Anyone else?
Your fourth outfielder, too, Rob Refsnyder.
But I'm talking like guys that are not that Rob Refsnyder is not valuable, but guys that would show up in a headline.
Yeah, no, I know
your
what you
starters
mean.
And
You're
your
missing
second,
four guys already.
Right. Your what would have been two of your three best pitchers on the roster and your middle infield starters are both hurt.
No, I mean it's not great. It's not great. Like, and again, I have no idea when Pivetta is going to come back. And then Trevor Story, on the other hand, I mean, God, it's probably a good thing that Steve's not on the show for a moment like this, because here's the thing: it was Trevor Story's, like, you know, looking back on it, hindsight, was his contract a good signing? Is it going to go down as one of the worst? Yeah, it's going to go down as one of the worst. But I mean, an injury like that, it's just like, I don't even want to say it's like preventable. Like, you love to see him being aggressive. Like, the guy would have been safe at first base anyways, like diving for that play in the shorts or, you know, in the hole there at short.
None since then. Hot shot. Diving play by Story, but he cannot.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's in.
Oh, no.
He's in pain here. He is writhing in agony and had a hand on his shoulder. He made a sensational stop on it. He was not going to get it out. And landed on that shoulder, apparently. Oh, my.
I mean, like, I don't even, like, so what, he broke a bone in his shoulder diving. Like, I feel like unlucky, like, that's unlucky. I mean, a dislocation I could see happening, but I just feel bad for him above all. Like, I know he grinded his ass off. He had the interview today, where, you know, he was crying like super hard, about how upset he is with the diagnosis. Like, he's in a sling and, you know, not even gonna get to play a game at Fenway this year. Like, just sucks. You know, he was looking really good on the defensive side of the ball, hitting, you know, I wasn't getting my expectations up too high, but just like, that's a guy in the middle of the lineup you could at least kind of count on. And now, you know, another season without him.
Seemed to be in such a great place coming out of spring training.
Yeah. You know, missing last season, you feel that, you know, you miss your teammates. You miss playing the game. You just know what it takes, you know. Oh, but I'll be all right.
Steve was right, and I do have sympathy for the guy. Of course, this is a freak injury. You can't do anything about it. You would have rathered he play his heart out than play conservatively all year. He would have made more errors. Like, I respect him for going all out. It's a freak injury. There's nothing you can really do about it. But Steve was right, and I can admit he's right because he's not here. This is the worst contract of our lifetime.
I still think it's Pablo Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval at least played.
No, he didn't. though.
All right,
he
did
played.
You see?
No,
all right,
hold on.
Shout out. All right, credit where credit's due. Our good friend of the program, Steve Perrault, came up with the number. Have you seen this tweet? How many games Story will have missed by the end of this
Trevor
season?
Trevor Story's already played more games in his career. Or hold on. Pablo Sandoval has played 161 games. Trevor Story's played what? Like 147?
For the Red Sox?
Yeah. Trevor Story's played 145. So Sandoval, who only played 2.5 seasons for the Red Sox, will have
and played. Trevor Story
16.
Has played three.
By the
this
end of this, he will have
third.
Played three.
You want to know how many games he will have missed by the end of this season? Did you see this stat already?
Yeah, I did. It was 330-something.
305. That's right. Almost two entire seasons full of baseball.
I think
that
it's,
we
no,
have...
it's more than that. It's more than that. Because, you know, it's closer to 330.
Check me, check my source here.
Anyways, well, you find that. I want to put.
Here we go. By the end of the season, Trevor Story will have missed 305 games that he was expected to play with the Red Sox. Just brutal. It's the worst contract. He's getting paid more than Sandoval, is he not?
I mean, I guess. I think it's
so he's being. I made a spreadsheet, didn't I? I hope I saved this.
He's making, yeah, like $23 million a year.
I really hope I saved this. That would suck if I did all that work.
That was a long time ago. I mean, here's the thing. It just sucks. You know, it's a freak injury. I will say this, which is super random. I broke the same exact bone in my shoulder my freshman year of high school. I broke my right glenoid in my shoulder. Got called up to the varsity hockey team. I was like hardly 5 foot, 110 pounds soaking wet. I got rattled into the boards and broke my shoulder. It was insanely painful, and I still have pain in that, you know, in my shoulder. Like I can't throw for long periods of time. I never had surgery on it, but that is it's a hard bone to completely heal. And obviously the surgery is going to help with that. But as someone who suffered that same injury, I mean, it was extremely painful. Couldn't feel my whole arm, like had a very similar reaction to Story there when that happened. I just, like, we talk about, oh, he's going to miss all this time. Like, honestly, I just hope he can get back to a point where he's even close to where he was, because, like, this is a bad injury. It's a bad injury. And most of the time we're like, you know, you say these things, but you've never truly like experienced what they felt like. Like, breaking that bone is painful, and the rehab is difficult to get it strong again. I'm hopeful, but like when I saw he broke that, I was like, shit, not good.
Look, I mean, I don't think that he's ever going to get to the point again where he is anywhere close to the Trevor Story of old, right?
No.
Oh, I found it.
Here, could I have a little bit of a hot take here?
Yes.
Hot take. I think that next year, if Trevor Story's still on the roster, I don't think he's your starting shortstop anymore.
No, absolutely. That's not a hot take.
I don't even, not
How
even
can
that.
You trust him to start every day?
It's not even that. I think you move him back to second base. Like, I truly think his arm is going to be like, even with surgery, like
they might need to move him. At this point, he is a right side of the infield or a DH, and he's a DH that can't hit.
Yeah. I mean, I feel for him. Like, you know, it's like, I keep wanting to, like, the thing is Steve was always saying, like, oh, worst contract in Red Sox history, this and that.
I'm it
like,
is.
No, hold on. I mean, like, yeah, it's been horrible, but I like to judge a player by, you know, how they're playing on the field. And I haven't felt like we've seen the healthy Trevor Story that we paid for. And I've been hoping to make the judgment on that. And now it's just kind of at a point where I'm like, it just probably it's not going to work
that's
out.
Why it's such a that's why it's such a bad contract, because
I know
we
it sucks.
Never,
we got him for three more years after this
for an extra $4.5 million more than Pablo Sandoval. He's played less games and he's gotten hurt more. And we've never seen, like, Pablo Sandoval, granted, like, we never saw anything other than just morbidly obese Pablo Sandoval play. For that same fact, we see the parallel of we've never seen a more than 60% healthy Trevor Story.
My thing
right?
is,
we signed him with a bum arm, and then he got surgery, and then he didn't play, and then he came back, and he had seven games where he was Trevor Story, and then he got hurt again. And then he had more surgery, and then he came back, and then he played eight games, couldn't hit, played great defense, and then got hurt again. And is done for the year. We will not see Trevor Story for another 6 months touch a baseball.
My only thing is that Sandoval was such a fat, lazy bum who didn't, like, wasn't even trying. Like,
right.
At least
Story doesn't deserve it.
No, like, obviously no one deserves to get hurt, but, you know, Story at least, like, you know, again, like, just unlucky. Like, 2022, it gets hit in the hand with the pitch, misses a whole bunch of time. Like, up to that point, he wasn't having a great season. Like, as you mentioned, like, he had that one week in, like, the end of May where, yeah, he hit, like, six or seven home runs, like, almost half his total in his, like, Red Sox career. And then he gets, like, the fake not full Tommy John surgery last year and comes back, plays in 40 something games at the end of the year, where it's like I was hardly watching at that point. Like, the Sox were so done, I'm like, I don't want to watch this team. And then, yeah, you know, after that, now he's got to have another surgery. And this is, you know, I don't know, in the world of doctors, what's more serious, this or the Tommy John type surgery that he had. But I just know, like, that right arm's just cooked. Like, I just know, man.
He can't play shortstop anymore.
I just know it is. I like, pains me to say, because, like, I was so, honestly, the day the Red Sox signed Trevor Story was probably, like, the peak. It was like, you're coming off the ALCS appearance.
Yeah.
Got Trevor Story. You were like, so building. Like, you lost Schwarber. You lost Eddie, but you're like, you know, I got Story. Like, I don't know. Makes me sad. And to see him like that, see the Pivetta news today, like, to me, it just kind of, like, it overshadowed opening day, left a bad taste in my mouth.
It's the same way that I felt when they signed Pablo Sandoval.
You're no.
Yes. They come up. They are. All right. So he was signed in what, 2014?
Yeah.
So they have the World Series in 13. That was obviously an old team that made kind of a Cinderella run. Nobody was expecting that team to last for what, three more years?
No.
Right, it was old. It was kind of this band of misfits. Like, it was the twilight,
yeah,
of everyone's
had
career
their
that came together
that
at
year.
The right time.
Yeah, it was a great year.
Right, it was a great year.
Yeah.
So you come in to 14. I mean, 14 was like meh, and then you come out of 14 off season with Sandoval and Hanley, and you're like, all right, shit, this offense is back. And then Pablo shows up to spring training, fat and out of shape and lazy. Drinking Coke in the dugout, liking Instagram model pictures during the game.
That is true. That's a fact.
And he
that
sucked.
Is a fact, folks.
That is a fact. That's probably the best fact about Pablo Sandoval.
I can't believe Instagram used to have that feature where you could, like, see what other people are liking. Like,
they
the
shouldn't
fact
have got rid
that,
of it.
I just find it hilarious that, like, Sandoval, someone's probably, like, just scrolling on Instagram. It's like Pablo Sandoval liked, like, he's like model, like, half naked posts,
yeah,
like bottom of the fifth inning while he's sitting on the bench. Like, I couldn't stand that guy.
But anyway, the best moment of the most jubilous moment of Pablo Sandoval's Red Sox career was the day that they signed him and the day that they cut him.
Oh my God. And I just remember the reaction on Twitter. People were so pumped.
It was awesome because he was great in San Francisco and he was awesome in the postseason. And frankly, at this point, when I look back in 5 years from now on Trevor Story's Red Sox run, the two peaks are going to be when they signed him and when they cut him. My ship has sailed on this guy.
I don't blame you for saying they sailed. I'm just kind of like, he just is like, at this point for me, he's just kind of like dead weight in the equation. I'm just
Yeah,
kind of
and
like,
it's
he's
too
just
bad.
there.
He's a great guy,
I know.
and he
It just
provides a
sucks.
ton of
Sucks.
veteran value to this team, but he can't stay healthy, and he's 31 years old, and he's coming off of what, two arm surgeries and a shoulder reconstruction in
I
the
don't,
three
did he
total
ever,
years.
I don't know if he ever had surgery on his hand when he got hit by the pitch, but this is at least his second surgery in about a year's time on one part of his right arm. And honestly, if we just chalk all this up, it's like if the Red Sox only had to play baseball with their left hand, they'd be chilling right now. You'd have Giolito, you'd have
They'd be
Story,
awesome.
you'd still have Pivetta. I mean, honestly, you just chalk it up to that.
Casas would be a tank.
Honestly, the
Devers would
problem.
still be a tank. Yoshida would still be a tank.
Honestly, they should rebrand to the Left Sox and just have everyone play left-handed. Just like you hitting the ball. You ever seen the guy, like the high school basketball player? He's got one hand, just like shoots with one hand. It's a baller.
Yeah.
Like
What's the guy's name?
you just
The
teach him to hit
pitcher who
like,
had one hand.
Jim Abbott.
Abbott?
Like you just teach
Jim
him.
Abbott.
They'll pick it up. Just one hand, lefty. Shoop. Shoop. Like
See ya.
I just no more right-handed. I think it's a curse.
None. Final shortstop question.
Oh, wait, I just got one other thing to say quickly on Story, where you're saying like, this is it. The other thing that sucks for him too is that the Red Sox, like most hyped up prospect in nearly a decade, is quickly approaching and is a shortstop. And so you're just kind of like,
Which is my next question. Do we see Marcelo Meyer in 2024?
I want to say I think we do. I think it is such a long season. I don't I know Craig Breslow said today that they want to go with internal options for filling this gap right now. And obviously Grissom's starting a rehab assignment on Friday, right? Like that's what we're
Yep.
celebrating. That'll be good to have him back, hopefully, in a week or two. But it's such a long season. The Red Sox, we'll get to these transactions in a minute, but obviously call up David Hamilton, who, exists, good role player, I guess. Hit a bomb in Anaheim. But overall, I don't think you can roll this season with Roman Gonzalez and David Hamilton as your shortstops. I think you either got to go out and I know Jean Segura is a free agent. Like, I'm not like you move Grissom to short, have him at second. Like, once Grissom comes back, I think it'll be better. But right now, that's just a hole in the bottom of the lineup. So I do think at some point we will see Meyer get his shot because Story's down. You don't know what the situation of the season is going to look like by the end of the year. Like, I think it's more probable than not that the record of the team is not going to be great. I think you got to give the kid a chance. I mean, I think we will. What do you think?
I think that they're going to exhaust absolutely every option
I agree with
before
that.
they bring him up. I'm on the boat of moving Rafaela to short. I hate because he's playing such good defense in center, and I hate to move him out of there. But you need a shortstop. You really need a shortstop because Devers is not good enough at third to make up for it, and they do not have a good enough second baseman to make up for it either. Their defense overall, if it would be one thing if they had a great defense all around and your shortstop sucks, like you know what, you can kind of you can carry them along, but their defense is not great and they need a shortstop more than they need a center fielder. They can put other guys in the outfield.
Yeah,
Once
I mean,
Rhett Snyder's back, like he'll give something fine. Duran's played center, he can just move over. Yoshida's played left and right. O'Neill can slide over as well. Like you have options in the outfield, you have no options at second base.
I agree.
All right, shortstop, excuse me.
The outfield, you got guys you can move around. And like honestly, a DH by committee, like who's ever hot, I'm fine with
Fine.
that.
That was their plan.
I mean, Yoshida's kind of slid into that role. I don't even know if we've seen him in the field yet, but I mean, Valdez has appeared in all 11 games, 35 at bats. He only has 4 hits. He's hitting 114. Pablo Reyes, 6 games, 16 at bats, 3 hits, hitting 188. I mean, Valdez, Abreu, or not Abreu, Reyes. Like, I think they're fine bench players, but we all knew they're not starters. And now
No.
You just gotta squeeze them even more thin. So yeah, it's a time here in Boston. It's a time here in Boston. But rejoice, because today was opening day, which, good or bad, the year, it's always a great day. I mean, the weather today, absolutely beautiful. It was like mid-50s on a cloud in the sky.
50s?
Yeah.
I don't know. Out in the burbs over here, I golfed this afternoon.
You getting played in the 60s?
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was like 68 when I teed off.
What? No.
Yeah. It was hot. I got out. I stepped out, and I just came from work, so I'm wearing my golf shirt and pants on.
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped out. I was like, damn, I should have brought shorts, because it is hot as balls out.
Yeah, it was probably got up to like 58, like in the city. It was
still great. It was still a warm day.
Great day. Great day. Neither of us were able to attend opening day this year, but I missed not being there because it was opening day. But after the game, after the final result, I'm glad I did not waste that time during the middle of the day to go to Fenway and see that. There were definitely things I would have loved to see. 7-1 loss today, opening day. I think it's the fourth straight Red Sox home opener that they've lost. Haven't won since 2020.
Yeah, that is shocking. They lost the opening day we went to.
They lost in 2022 when we went. Last year I went, they lost to Baltimore. 2021, have they played Baltimore literally? They played Minnesota when we went. 2021, they played Baltimore, they lost. And then 2020, they also played Baltimore. They won that one like 9-0 or 9-1, something like that. Yeah, I mean, today was just like, yeah, you had the pregame ceremony was amazing to watch. You had the 04 reunion, obviously, tons of tears with the Red Sox honoring Tim Wakefield and Larry Lucchino, who I think it was like right when we dropped our episode last week when he passed. But I know we didn't. It was not in that one. But I mean, two just huge losses in you know, Red Sox Nation, and you know, just like having Wake's kid throw out the first pitch to Veritek, like I don't know if I would have been able to hold it together if I was at Fenway.
Yeah, even I was watching it at work, so I had the live stream on YouTube. So I sent it over to my mom because she was asking about it, and I was talking to her earlier, and she's like, "Yeah, you know," she's like, "I was sitting at my desk," and she's like, "I was tearing up." She's like, "I'm glad no one walked into my office."
Yeah,
because I mean, you know, just. That was a tough moment. I don't know how you do that when you're sitting there.
I give her so much credit,
seriously.
I mean, yeah, just.
Did you see the pitch?
Yeah.
Is it a strike?
I think I'm pretty sure she bounced it, but it was
a knuckleball. Yeah, that would have been crazy if she came out and threw a knuckleball from the mound.
Could you imagine? I think she was showing some politician. I saw some video that she was showing her how to throw a knuckleball.
Michelle Wu?
It was not Michelle Wu. It's not Michelle.
Maura
Wu.
Healey?
Yeah, I think it was her.
Oh. I would hey, you know what? I would rather the both of them start pitching for the Red Sox than continue to do the job they do.
Speaking of general Boston talk for a minute here. I was taking the Red Line to work yesterday, and it was delayed as usual. That's just
awful.
That's just what you call a regular morning.
Yep.
So I'm waiting there at the station, and you know, they have like the maps on the wall.
Yep.
So it was a Red Line specific map, and it was showing the way I was going, and it would show the next couple stops, whatever. And there were little handicapped emblems next to a few of the stops, and I was just like reading it. And I was like, you know, if it was a black handicapped symbol, it was, you know, accessible by wheelchair or elevator or something. One of them had one that was shaded in white. So I'm like, oh, what does the white one mean?
Mm-hmm.
You'll never guess what this said. It says, will be open after construction in 1990. Swear to God. I was like, this hasn't been replaced in 34 years, this sign?
No. You sound surprised.
No, I like
T is awful. Like literally every single bit of it, not a thing about it works. And it never will work. I saw in the news today they're sinking $550 million into the tee. I don't anticipate a single noticeable difference.
It is in such disrepair. It's like unbelievable. If you've never been to the city of Boston, if you haven't been to the city of Boston, most likely you're going to take the Green Line to Fenway Park, which is out of the four branches by far the best. It's not great.
Yeah.
But the Green Line is
the Green Line the rocks. Best.
The Green Line's great. Like I'd be not happy to take it every day. I'd be fine. Red Line sucks. When I lived in the city 2 summers ago, I'd take the Orange Line every day. Sucked.
You know, funny story about the Red Line, not to cut you off, but I'm taking the Red Line probably about a month ago, and I get into the back car, and these two, they were probably teenagers, walk into the car, walk immediately back. They just open the door, go into like where the conductor is.
Nice.
There was no one back there, but they're just sitting around, they're just sitting in there, pushing buttons, ringing bells, everything.
Hell yeah.
So some MBTA worker comes in, rips him a new one. It's like, get off the train. Like, if you keep doing that, you'll get arrested. So I'm laughing. I'm like, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
This woman was not having it, though. Nah, it was so nonchalant. They just walked on the tee behind me and then just walked straight in like they own the place.
Yeah. Sometimes it's...
That's the Red Line for you.
I only have to take it a few stops to work, but I just every time I'm like, I just want to get off.
Two stops too many.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not great. But anyways, we'll do a quick series recap. A quick series recap from Anaheim, because Red Sox take 2 out of 3. You had 2 good wins. Obviously, you had the Story injury. Tyler O'Neill had a 2-home run game on Friday. Red Sox went 8-6.
Decent. That was my hot take.
Yeah, what was your hot take? I had the no hitter. So I
said Devers hits 2 home runs, but I said someone does.
Well, you nailed it.
I kind of nailed it.
They had what, 5 home runs this game? Casas, Duran, McGuire, and 2 for O'Neill.
It was a laser show.
Yeah. And the grand slam that Winkowski gave up sucked. Defense the last few games has definitely been the point of contention where I'm like, got to clean this up a little bit.
Devers looks bad.
Yeah. All around. Like Duran had
he's got to pick it up.
Yeah. Well, Rafaela dropped that ball on Friday too, which started this inning off. I don't know. We've talked so much, Rafi, I feel like for years, is he a third baseman? Is he not? Whatever. Game 2, drop that one, 2-1, close one. I don't really have much to say on the series in Anaheim, honestly. Reese had a great series.
Reese spanked that series.
Spanked it.
Leads the team in RBIs.
You'd never believe it, but Reese McGuire got locked up for being the best catcher of the week.
I forget who made that thing that I sent you hilarious. Guys, but it was like, if it was, what was it?
It was like,
illegal to be the best catcher in the majors, yeah. And it's the picture of Reese in the back of the car.
Yeah. If you are unfamiliar with Reese McGuire, just look up Reese McGuire arrested.
Don't look it up. You know what he did.
Some people might not. They're like, oh,
everyone knows.
He's a good baseball player. Let me look him up.
Everyone knows what
you had the keyword arrested afterwards. You'll really get to know Reese. Huge Dollar Tree guy, apparently.
Yeah, just massive Dollar Tree guy. Gets so excited in there.
Savings. Yeah. All right.
Catcher for Toronto Blue Jays is getting some exposure the team isn't very pleased with.
Pinellas deputies busted 24-year-old Reese McGuire, accusing him of exposing himself. Our Pinellas Bureau reporter Chip Osowski is joining us in Dunedin, where it took place.
Good evening to you both. A woman called the sheriff's office on Friday afternoon to report that she saw a man sitting in his white Mercedes SUV, and she told the dispatcher that she saw a lot more of him than she was comfortable with.
I have a question. Whenever you think of Reese McGuire, is that never not the first thing that pops into your head?
Because no, for it's me, absolutely it, the first thing I think of.
Oh, always the first thing that pops in my head. I just can't take him seriously. He could have a 30-80 season, I'd be like, that's the guy who got arrested in the Dollar Tree parking lot for indecent exposure.
He could literally be the best baseball player of all time starting tomorrow for the rest of his career. And if someone gave me the word association game and said Reese McGuire, it said Spanky.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I think of.
No, I don't disagree. I like literally every time I'm like, oh, they still got, not like still got, like I'm not like a casual fan, like, oh, he's still on the team. But like every time I hear his name, I'm like, still, like,
You think they rip him for
still like
that in the
this guy.
locker room?
Don't go to a Dollar Tree in Florida in the middle of the
With Reese
pandemic.
McGuire.
Yeah, Reese had a great series. You lose this one 2-1, and the final game of the series, huge win. You have Miguel Sano pitching the ninth inning. Shout out Miguel Sano for being back in the bigs. You never thought I'd see the day that he was on an MLB team again. But yeah, 12-2 win. Another good pitching performance for Mr. Hauk. He's been dealing, hasn't allowed a run yet this year. And yeah, David Hamilton, first career home run. Devers had a shot. O'Neill, McGuire. Sox were rolling in this one.
Sox did what they needed to do in this one. Just came in and wrecked house. They
I
had a
think
quiet
that's,
game. The Saturday game was just completely boring and quiet. 2-1. Angels pulled ahead on a Raffy Devers error. And the offense, that kind of seems to be the trend so far, is the Red Sox have one game per series where they just completely fail to show up on offense. Yeah, the second game in Seattle, I guess they didn't really, well, the last game in Oakland, they won 1-0. And then Saturday against the Angels, they put up one run. Hopefully it continues. I mean, they put up one run today against Baltimore. Maybe the next two games, they'll just light on fire.
Yeah, I hope so. Because speaking of offense being dead today, it was, or dead in general, I'm hoping today was as dead as it's going to get. One run, Tyler O'Neill. Did you see he shattered some cars front windshield in the parking garage?
Absolutely. That windshield stood absolutely no
Smoked,
chance.
smoked, absolutely
That's why you
smoked.
do split squirrels and split squats and bicep curls, kids.
His biceps are like unreal. It's like if you put golf balls onto like a big bicep, it's like on like huge.
I know it's a joke, but like I always knew it was a joke. But then now that everyone's covering it, and it's like, oh my God, look at how big these guys' biceps are. It's like, wow, holy shit, these things are fucking massive.
They're massive, absolutely
What do
massive.
you think he curls?
I bet he just like casually curls like 60s.
I'm thinking he's like, if he's like straight bar, he's throwing the 45s on the end.
Oh, straight bar, yeah. Dumbbells probably 50 to
70s?
60, 70s. That's he's just jacked. I mean, like Corbin Burns pitched great today. Like he only gave up two hits. Red Sox only got two hits in the first inning. Obviously the defensive miscues didn't help, but I don't think the Red Sox were winning this game regardless. But yeah, like O'Neill just hanging curveball. Like, oh, he is gonna make do with that monster.
Swinging a high, deep drive, left field. Watch this baby go. It is totally out of here. Oh, he has a feel for the moment, doesn't he?
Wow.
Oh, he got a hanging curveball. I tell you, Tyler O'Neill, the one thing I've seen in the first 10 games, like quality at bats, he doesn't chase. You leave it in the zone. It's a short swing. As you mentioned, the guy is jacked and hits bombs, so he doesn't need much. How about starting a career off here at Fenway Park like that?
That's what he's here for. I mean,
100%.
it was just a stupid pitch to throw him.
100%.
The guy leads the league in the in home runs, and you just fucking hang a meatball right on the warmest day. I mean, all that compression. I don't know what physics are behind it.
Yeah. Shit was
Bryson
smoked.
DeChambeau likes to talk about warm days when he golfs and all the compression, the increased compression on the core of the golf ball that makes it go further. So I assume it's something similar. He just compressed the shit out of that ball and put it through someone's windshield.
Smoked it. Smoked it.
It didn't even touch the monster.
No, just straight over. Like the second it left the bat, you're just like,
Gone.
damn, watch that thing fly. Smoked. In terms of Bayo, feel like he's had pretty similar outings thus far. 5 1/3, 4 hits, 3 earned, or sorry, 3 runs, only 1 earned. Excuse me, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Still waiting for like that top of the line performance. Like I want to see like six innings or like a six strikeout game. Like his strikeouts have been pretty low so far, but I also know he historically does not pitch very well during day games. You got 5 1/3 out of him at least. And then Jolie had an inning of pretty clean baseball. And then Winkowski just kind of mopped up the rest of the day. Did give up 9 hits and 2 2/3, 3 earned, 4 Ks. Kind of saved the bullpen for some more action in this series, which I'm sure there will be. So I can't really complain about that. It's just, this is one of those games, forgettable, just like one of those days. Other team was just better.
Yeah, it just sucks that it was on opening day and you have the whole 0-4 ceremony and you know, the in memoriam of Wake and Lucchino. You kind of wish it was they showed up like this tomorrow and played a great game today. Even if they lost, like just put up a competitive performance. On offense and obviously defense killed them, kind of took the game away from striking distance. But yeah, I mean, Bayo pitched well. That was probably the best performance I've seen him have during the day. One earned run. Yeah, I mean, really.
Could have been worse.
He's terrible during the day. But I mean, really good performance out of him and just kind of sloppy stuff that took the game away. And yeah, that's how they'll continue to lose games if they continue to play like that. So I think it's up to Devers to bring everything around.
Offensively, he's the leader of the team. Or in the clubhouse?
Everywhere. Everywhere. He's the leader of the team, right?
I mean, he's longest tenured. I don't know if he's the leader, but
he's the best.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's the best and he's the longest tenured.
I wouldn't exactly name him the captain. Who would you name the captain on this team with Trevor Story gone? Like, honestly,
I wouldn't put Trevor Story in that consideration anyway.
I think Trevor Story is your captain.
Defensively.
No, I think if he's healthy, he's the captain of the team. 100%.
No way.
100%.
Defensively. Absolutely.
I don't think you have to be you don't have to be I just mean like from a leader perspective, I think that's Trevor Story if he's healthy.
I mean, yeah, he calls a great game from shortstop. I guess, yeah, I mean, maybe now that you say it, I don't know. O'Neill seems to be probably the closest thing to a leader.
Yeah.
Leader just, that's on this team.
He's been smoking the ball. I mean, I failed to mention that he's leading the whole MLB in home runs. Tanner Houck also, I believe, is third in the MLB in Ks. They've just been put on some good performances. But yeah, I'm hoping for a bounce back tomorrow. And Gomber is going to be in the building, which I'm excited for, bringing you some content from the Fens. I think, Clausen, you're gonna be there on Saturday?
Saturday, yep.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I will see you there.
A couple buddies of mine. A couple buddies of ours are going as well.
Yeah. Did you already get a ticket?
Did I already?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I'll deal with that. Probably Friday night.
Friday night.
Saturday morning.
Yeah. All right.
If you see a large man wearing a Coco Crisp jersey, then I'll be in that vicinity.
You'll be there. Okay. I know. Yep. I know who you're with. Well,
That's going to be a good start to my challenge, to our little competition.
That's right.
Most obscure jersey.
I am pumped that I am there. I get an extra couple days on you to start off.
Look, it's all quality over quantity. You can go to 81 games, but look, you can go to 80 games. But look, if I go to one game and someone's wearing a Jonathan Van Every shirt, then
it's game over.
Game over.
For anybody who doesn't know, our challenge this year is whoever can find the person wearing the most obscure Red Sox shirt or jersey at Fenway Park, we get a picture with them. What are we doing? We buy like the other one a beer or something?
I feel like we got to up the stakes. This is a whole season long.
I agree.
I'd say we buy the other, the more, like, whichever jersey wins, you buy it. But that means you have to go to MLB.com and order a custom Fanatics jersey.
True. I don't think you could find, like, one of these obscure ones on a Chinese knockoff website.
You could. I think you can customize them.
You think you could find a Jonathan Van Every jersey?
No, but you can go in and you can customize them.
Okay. I say at the end of the season, we both submit who we think, and we have to have a picture with that jersey. We both submit who we think is the best pick, and we have people on Instagram vote.
I like that.
All right.
I want to see if I'm right. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think you could find a JV jersey.
I won $67. Oh. I'm getting a lot of pop-ups. I feel like I'm going to definitely get a virus. Yeah, 100%.
Anyways, for the rest of the series in, against Baltimore.
Yeah, you can do custom.
All right. Good to know. Good to know.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow you got Cutter Crawford, who we were just looking, because the Red Sox played their first home game. They've published the Red Sox walk-up songs on their website. And would you believe it, but Cutter Crawford has brought back Hustler Music by Lil Wayne as his walk-up song, walk-out song. I mean, I just remember 4th of July 2022, you and me are sitting to like top row of the bleachers, sweating our ass off. And Sox are losing to the Rays, and they bring him out. And that song starts playing. We're just like, I think that was when I caught the Cutter wave. I was like, this guy's a vibe.
Well, it was just like such a vibe. It was 4th of July. It was hot as balls.
Oh, my God.
We're sitting there.
I was so hungover that day, too. I was just like.
I think we all were. We're baking, sitting in the sun in the bleachers. And there was that guy like probably 20 rows ahead of us that was basically naked.
Oh my God.
In the outfield, right? You remember him?
Yeah, I remember. You could see like half his ass crack. Like
yeah, burned that seat that he was sitting in.
Oh my God, might have been the red seat.
they wouldn't let him do that to the red seat.
No, they certainly would. They were like, sir, that is a historic artifact. Please keep your ass cheeks off.
Gets quickly whisked away and never seen from again. Yeah. I don't remember if they won that game or not.
But I think they
I
lost.
Remember it kind they of lost being like a nothing game.
Yeah. Austin, I remember Austin Davis got the start.
Yep.
I think someone good pitched for the Rays. I don't remember who.
But anyway,
but
Putter comes out and it's just this like groove of Hustler Music. He's like, got this slow jog out to the mound, and I was like, you know what? That's just it fits so well.
I had never heard that song before that day.
Neither had I.
But like, that is a song that I consistently still listen to. Like, it is a very great song. I think Cutter Crawford prime for a great breakout season.
No doubt.
I mean, we were just real quick looking at a couple other of these. Isaiah Campbell, Devil Eyes, great song. Jaren Duran, Carnival. I feel like that's just like the hit song right now by Kanye West. Couple of my favorites. Casas is sticking with It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube. Raphael has got Grateful by DJ Khaled. Ref Snyder, Mad City. That's a good one.
Great one.
And Yoshida is sticking with Good Feeling. I still miss my all-time favorite was JD Martinez, Hustlin'. But I'm sure...
That was an awesome one.
Hearing a couple other of these I'm not familiar with, but you always get attached to a few of them. Like, I think... Did Devers switch? Devers is not on here. He's usually
Devers
got,
came up silent today.
Yeah, he might have. He's just like, he's with the crowd. But he's had the same walk-up song the last couple of years. So we'll see. After our first game, I'll report what my favorite is besides Hustler Music.
I'll be looking forward to it.
Sweet. I want to hear yours too. And we haven't heard it yet too, but the new intro music, which we've been trying to predict here for 3 years now. First year, 2021, it was the business. 2022 was the motto. 2023 was, what was that song? I don't remember what it's called.
Was it Timmy Trumpet?
Something. I was like, don't be shy. Something like that.
Don't be shy.
Something. I
think it was called Don't Be Shy.
Maybe. But, they totally switched up the genre on us. I thought we were sticking with like some dance type music. They switch it up to Separate Ways by Journey. Fire song. I'm curious to see. Like, I could just imagine after the flyover today that like the guitar's like, nah, 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 like it just starts like that. I think it's a good choice.
I totally fuck with it. I think it's awesome. I think it's gonna be awesome at night. I don't know if they'll do a light show with it.
Oh, holy shit.
But man.
Also, breaking news. Did you just see this? Who got called up?
No.
Jackson Holiday.
That was fast.
The Baltimore Orioles.
I mean, he was hitting like 900.
Holy shit. Are we going to see him tomorrow?
Holy shit, you will.
Maybe. Holy fuck. That'd be sick if I got to see his MLB debut.
I bet.
I doubt he plays tomorrow. I bet he's going to play on Thursday. Oh, my gosh. I'll explain.
What?
Never mind.
What's going on Thursday?
I'll nothing. I'll I'll tell you after. But.
All right.
Yeah,
it kind of makes sense. They were an absolute wagon. I want to see if they won a game the other day. 26-11.
Yeah, their AAA team would probably smoke.
They won 13-1 on Saturday.
Yeah, there's no reason Jackson Holiday shouldn't have been up already.
How many?
I guarantee you he'll
play. Yep, he went 4-for-6, 2 walks, 2 RBI, 5 runs,
insane.
No strikeouts.
That's insane.
What is this guy hitting?
How old is he? 20.
He's not even. He's 20.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy that there's people who are 2 years younger than us. And yeah, what are we doing?
Recording a podcast about them.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep. He is hitting. Oh, he's only hitting .333.
Yeah, only.
But in 10 games, 14 hits, 5 doubles, 2 homers, 12 walks. He's drawn a shit ton of walks. Stolen base, 1077 OPS.
Whew.
Yeah, this guy's just an animal.
Good. He's good.
He's gonna be fun to watch.
Watch
out. The Orioles are gonna be fun as hell for the next 10 years.
Hate that they're in our division. Do you have anything else on the last 4 games?
Fire the strength and conditioning coach. Cause too many people are getting hurt.
Just caught astray. All right. We're going to speed through last two segments here. We're going to keep it short. You got an Alex Cora impact player of the week?
Got to be Reese McGuire, 0.69.
Hell yeah. Hell if yeah.
If Reese McGuire, this has got to be like a cardinal rule. If Reese McGuire wins Alex Cora impact player of the week, it is always a 0.69.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think it's fair.
Alex Cora is always one. Reese yeah, McGuire is always 0.69.
I'm going to go with Tyler O'Neill. I feel like he can't. He's definitely bringing more impact than Reese. I'm going to give him a point, 0.74.
It's a lot of impact. A
lot of impact. We got some questions from Matt.
Let's go.
First question comes in from Matt. He said, what was the first show / movie franchise you latched onto as a little kid?
Show / movie franchise. Bob the Builder.
Yeah, that's fire. I was a big Wiggles guy. Went to a few of their concerts.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds electric.
Yeah, pretty electric. I like Murray, who's rocking the red. Pretty fire.
Big time.
You got a Wiggles song you like Hot Potato or something like that?
Hot Potato, yeah. I listen to it all the time.
Fruit Salad.
Yummy, yummy. Oh, Fruit Salad.
That's a banger.
Yummy, yummy Fruit Salad.
Oh, they had some real bangers. I saw they did like a concert in Australia for like 18 and up, like sold drinks and everything.
Really?
I'd been going to that. Yeah.
18 and up?
Yeah. It's like a nostalgia night or something like that.
That would go. Someone's got to put like an EDM remix on them or something.
Oh, dude. Well, I think the Kid Laroi brought them out at a concert. Like he's Australian too.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Someone's got to have made this.
EDM Wiggles. I'm sure you could find that. I'm sure you could find it. Next question comes in from Matt. He says, what's the longest commute that you would do to work?
The Wiggles Fruit Salad Trap Remix.
Oh. I think we might have to use that as the outro for today's music.
That's going to be awesome. Longest I would commute to work, 35 minutes.
Really? I
don't like the long commute.
I hate a long commute. Probably like an hour Sucks. For me. I'd rather be in a car than a train. Probably like an hour.
No, no doubt.
I really got to be enjoying what I'm doing. Last question. Who is a person that is widely hated and you don't know why they are?
I keep a list of people and things that are... I keep a shit list, basically.
Yeah. That's a good question. I should have, like, I read these when Matt sends them in, and then I should start thinking about answers because some of these are hard on the spot. Like, I'll just say, like, I think Tom Brady catches more heat than he should. Just goated.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
Why do people hate her?
Yeah. What?
There was a the only reason I'm thinking of that is
She on your list?
where'd it go? Yeah. There was
What?
a yeah. So she's right under Patrick Reed and
Patrick?
right above the Stop and Shop robot.
Patrick Reed. Who is that again?
The golfer.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he stinks.
Yeah. But there was this big argument on Twitter a couple of years ago. Someone tweeted it out. Would you rather play 18 holes of golf with Patrick Reed or spend the day with Amy Schumer? And everyone was like, well, Patrick Reed's wicked annoying, but I can't think of a reason why I wouldn't want to spend the day with Amy Schumer, but I really don't want to spend the day with Amy Schumer.
I feel like she's just catching too much heat, man. I don't know much about Amy Schumer, but it sounds like it.
But people don't like her.
It does not sound like it. Does not sound like it at all. You got anything else here before we close out the ninth? Which I always say before we close out the ninth, which is to say whatever your closing thoughts are.
My closing thought, Adolis Garcia, probably on the juice. Your
Probably.
thoughts?
He's got monster traps. They look like cinder blocks on his shoulders.
He's
That's
got
all
a
I got.
Barry Bonds neck.
It's pretty big. Pretty big.
That's a pretty big
Pretty
neck.
big.
Yeah.
My closing out the ninth thought, you got two against Baltimore here. It'd be sick if you could find a way to win the series. Then you got three against the Angels, and you gotta clean up. Like again, this month of April, pretty soft schedule, honestly, besides the Orioles. Gotta find a way to clean up. If you're at Fenway tomorrow and you see Gombrich walking around, come say hi. We will be there. You know what I'm pumped to bring back? I'm pumped to bring back the post game recap video.
Oh yeah.
That's always a favorite.
Those are awesome.
We'll be back at Fenway tomorrow. Hopefully, people forget that Gombrich has like an unreal record at Fenway as well. Our winning percentage is like 850.
Well, when the three of us were all there, I think we've lost one game.
One game. I think combined we like or like we total like in 2021 we each went to like a couple games. If you totaled them all up, it was what, like 18 and 0?
Something
It
ridiculous.
was
Yeah, we
ridiculous.
won an outrageous amount of
Like
games.
unreal. Unreal. I actually have the MLB Ballpark app and I have every Red Sox game I've ever been to in there. And I think
Really?
it tells you the record of, let's see.
Oh my God. You know, I just realized
What?
the Sox are still doing that Netflix special.
Oh, true. Oh,
Everything.
we got to keep that
Oh.
in mind, dude. Oh no.
The whole locker room meltdown today is going to be on Netflix.
It might be. Yeah, we didn't
It's
end
got
up
to
talking
be.
about that. Durant had a meltdown after the game, apparently. Apparently people are trying to get like a reverse Trey Turner thing going for tomorrow, where they
I
like
think I
first
like
at bat.
that.
Yeah, I guess I'll
Standing
take
O.
part. Yeah, I guess I'll take part. Tomorrow will be my 50th Red Sox game ever. It's pretty cool.
Hey, there you go.
The Red Sox are 31 and 15. I've seen them play a few times on the road. 31 and 15 all time at Fenway Park when I'm in attendance.
That's impressive.
So, anyways, we're back 7-4. Keep it going. I think this episode will be coming out Wednesday morning. So, more baseball tonight. And if you enjoyed what you listened to, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Gombrich Podcast and Twitter at Gombrich. Don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Stitcher.
And I will let Greg from the Wiggles with the. I don't. You got to send me the link for this trap mix here, but I'm gonna let him take us out on the show here.
Yeah, I might have
The fruit
to. I
salad
gotta
trap
listen to
mix?
this. The Wiggles Fruit Salad Trap
Fruit salad
Remix.
trap mix. From Greg from the Wiggles. Fruit salad trap mix. We will see you next week for episode 153. See ya!
It's going to be a fruit salad treat.
The first step,
peel your bananas.
The second step,
toss in some grapes.
The third step,
chop up some apples.
Chop up some